Good afternoon, and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now open your Bibles, open your minds, and join in the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. Be with you until 2 o'clock right here on AM 1220, The Word. And, you know, I was coming in and I was listening to Pastor Lutz in the last half hour, and he had such an uplifting message there. No, it was good. It was timely, and talking about things that are going on that we need to be concerned about. But I thought to myself as I come in, or as I was listening on my way in, I thought, you know, I am glad that this world, as the song goes, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. And we're going to talk about, finally, we've been working towards this for months now, we are going to talk about the New Jerusalem, the future home of the believers. And I think if you were listening in the last half hour with Pastor Lutz, I hope you were, when you see what's happening in the world today, and you compare that with what God has in store for us, I think it was the right timing for us to get to this now. There are so many things happening in the world around us that can give even Christians, even strong Christians, when we just sit back and wonder if God has forgotten us. Sometimes we see the things that are happening, and the rise of the globalist and the antichrist forces in the world around us. On Sunday night's program, and I have it up on our website at Live with Pastor Al right now, on the last half hour of the program, I talked about Christian nationalism. Some of you have heard the clip that's going around saying that a Christian nationalist is one that believes that rights come not from the government but from God, which, of course, the 56 signers of the Declaration of Independence, they all thought that because, you know, it said it right in there that that our rights come from our Creator, meaning God. And so this vilification of Christians, and it makes me think sometimes, you know, how the eagle stirs up the nest when the young eagles are ready to fledge, they're ready to fly, and the eagle stirs up the nest because they're comfortable and they don't want to leave. You know, their food's being brought to them, and they got a nice safe place, they're comfortable. But the nest gets stirred up. She takes out some of the soft feathers and grasses and things that line the nest, so it becomes more uncomfortable, and it encourages them to want to leave the nest. And I think that's what we see happening in the world around us as well. Too many Christians have gotten comfortable, and I think God is stirring up the nest, and we're getting uncomfortable, ready for the catching away of the believers, that we could be with the Lord in heaven. So let's go ahead and pray, and we're going to take a look at the New Jerusalem here, the future home of the believers, in the program today. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for the opportunity to be on the air today. Pray that you would bless the program, use it for your glory, encourage your children through this. And again, if there's someone that's listening that does not know Christ as their Lord and Savior, pray that you would get a hold of their heart, help them to be able to see and understand the gospel message, that they might be saved, that they might have this promise of a home in heaven that we're looking forward to, and the New Jerusalem that the Bible promises to us. So, Lord, again, bless the program tonight, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And I would want to remind you, check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And if you go there, you can find out not only about me and the program, but you can also listen to past programs. As I said, our last Sunday night program is on there, both the 10 o'clock hour and the 11 o'clock hour. And there's some articles and things that are there, some other materials that you can link to, and some comments and some things, all at livewithpastoral.com. Also, a link to our home church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, which is the main sponsor of our program. And certainly invite you to visit us tonight at 7 o'clock. We have our our Friday night Bible study from 7 to 9 tonight. It's an informal Bible study where you bring the questions about the Bible and current events in light of God's Word, and we look into the Word of God together, and that's tonight. More information about that will all be coming at the end of the program, so we'll save that for that, and of course, usually mention this on Sunday nights, but got a moment here, and I just happened to scroll past it here. We're not only brought to you by the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I'm the pastor, but also brought to you by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. You can find East Coast Pizza at 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. And call East Coast Pizza at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. I think it's the best pizza in the area, and you can find it, as I said, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. That's East Coast Pizza, 4889 Turney Road, and the phone number there is 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. All right, well, we're going to get into our program here, and we've been working up to this. We started several months ago, I think it was before Thanksgiving, talking about future events, and of course, we've gone to other things as they came up last week, of course, looking at the personhood debate and when a child becomes a new life at the moment of conception and all. But we have gone through the events leading up to the rapture, the catching away of the believers, the seven-year tribulation period, what's going to happen to the Jewish people. The Bible indicates that those that survive, which will be a third of those that are alive at the beginning of the tribulation, at the end of the tribulation, they will embrace Jesus as their Messiah. And then Jesus returns, and he sets up a kingdom here on earth for 1,000 years where he rules and reigns on earth, and the devil is thrown in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. At the end of the 1,000 years, he is released to stir up one more final rebellion. And of course, the believers who are caught away prior to the tribulation, they return with Christ at the end of the tribulation, rule and reign with Christ on earth. And then, of course, those that survive physically the time of the tribulation, which probably be no more than a third of the people that are alive at the beginning of the tribulation, if we use the Jewish people as an index, they will repopulate, and they will all be believers initially, just like when Noah and his family got off the ark, they were all believers, and they will repopulate the world, and many people will be born during that 1,000 years, and many of them will chafe under the rule of Christ, try to ally themselves with Satan during that final rebellion. Of course, that's defeated. They go to the Great White Throne Judgment. We talked about those things. And then after that, in Revelation chapter 21, we see the Bible says, John says in Revelation 21, verse 1, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And this is an exciting time. Wanting to take too much time on this, but this is the moment that the Bible says over in 2 Peter chapter 3, where Peter writes, saying, verse 10, I'll start in verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Then he says in verse 13, nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. And key difference between 2 Peter and Revelation is Peter here says new heavens, plural, and a new earth. And John says in Revelation 21, a new heaven and a new earth. John is looking at much like we saw at the beginning of creation when God created the spiritual realm and the physical realm initially. The spiritual realm, of course, it says in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heaven. Notice it's singular. That's the spiritual realm and the earth. The earth was the totality of the physical realm at that time, the earth and its immediate surroundings. And then the sun, moon, stars were all created later, and the atmosphere and different things. And so we wound up with the heavens, first heaven being the atmosphere, second heaven being space, third heaven being the spiritual heaven where the angels are. And so where God's throne is. And so now we see that again. That's what John's talking about. But Peter lets us know that here on earth, not only the spiritual heaven is new, the earth is new, but the first and second heavens are new as well. The atmosphere, space, it's all new. New heavens, as Peter says, plural, new heavens, and a new earth. And so let's look at this a little bit. There's a lot of things we can talk about looking at how this comes together, but one thing that I want to go to is a thought, and some people almost seem you're heretical or sacrilegious if you say this, but the believers today, when we go to be with the Lord in heaven, we're coming back to the earth, as we said, for the 1,000-year reign of Christ, but where will we spend eternity? A lot of people have this picture that we're floating on a cloud, you know, strumming a harp, eating cream cheese. Well, no, that's not the case. We're going to be in the New Jerusalem, which comes out of heaven. So the reality is we do not spend eternity in the spiritual heaven. We have a home called the New Jerusalem, which, as we read here in Revelation chapter 21, verse 2, and I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven. And then it says, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And that gives us some insight where back in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, in the first three verses there, Jesus says this, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And so when we look at Jesus saying that he is preparing a place, he goes to prepare a place, he went to heaven to prepare this place. And in Revelation chapter 21, John says he saw the New Jerusalem, which was prepared in heaven. That's the place I believe Jesus is talking about. And it's coming out of heaven now. It's coming down from God out of heaven, prepared. So it's a prepared place, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And it's made to be as beautiful as possible. And yes, I don't know if we'll get through all the description of the New Jerusalem here, but it is a very beautiful place. And so that is why we have that illustration there as a bride adorned for her husband, to be as beautiful as possible. And it's kind of interesting as we look at this. There we see the connection between what Jesus said in John chapter 14 and what John says here in Revelation chapter 21. I think that makes it pretty clear. This prepared place John called the New Jerusalem, and it looks like this is going to be our eternal home. This is the place that's prepared. And when we look at what's happening in the world around us, as I said, Pastor Lutz, in the last half hour, talking about some of the things that are happening in the world and things that we've talked about in the past, it is nice to know that God has a place for us when we leave this world. We are going to have a place to dwell in the new heavens and the new earth. We're going to be in the New Jerusalem, a prepared place for the bride of Christ. That's you and that's me, if you've trusted Christ as your Savior as well. And this place, as I said, is being prepared right now, and we are going to spend eternity in this place. That's why it's good to know a little bit about it. Now, it's the bridegroom, as I said, the bride of Christ that's going to be there. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2 says, for I'm jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. And then over in Romans chapter 7, verse 4, Paul says, wherefore, my brethren, ye are also become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. We are in this age of grace, which some people refer to as called the church age. We collectively make up the bride of Christ. Now, there are other groups of believers from other ages, and they are not in the bride of Christ. If you go back to the Gospel of John in chapter 3, John the Baptist is speaking there. Now, remember, John the Baptist is a very interesting person. Jesus, in fact, says refers to him as the greatest of the prophets. And you say, well, he didn't do all the stuff that Moses did, and Moses would be a greater prophet, wouldn't he? No, the reason that he's called the greatest of the prophets is because John the Baptist was the last of the Old Testament line of prophets, and he had the singular purpose of introducing the Lamb of God, the Messiah, to the world. You know, Moses talked about him. Isaiah talked about him. Ezekiel talked about him. David talked about him. All the prophets and Daniel talked about him. All the prophets in the Old Testament talked about him. But none of them saw him in the flesh, and none of them had the privilege to introduce the Messiah into the world. That was John. John was the last of the Old Testament prophets. He's the one that pointed to Jesus and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." He had that unique privilege. And John said this in the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 28, 29, "Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ." See, some people thought that he might be the Messiah. "He said, ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy therefore is fulfilled." John the Baptist described himself as a friend of the bridegroom. He's not a part of the bride of Christ. He is a friend of the bridegroom. And other believers from other ages, we have the pre-flood believers, those from Adam to the time of Noah. We have the post-flood believers prior to the cross, Jew and Gentile alike. We have Jewish people. We see, of course, the history in the Old Testament, but we also know there's some non-Jews such as Job and others, godly men and others in the Bible that are indicated that come to understand who the God of the Bible is. And when we look at them, they are others that are going to be gathered into heaven when we get there. We'll see them. And we see also the people who are going to come to Christ during the tribulation period, during the seven-year tribulation period. And then there's those that come to Christ during the thousand-year reign of Christ, the millennial believers. And these various groups will have, and we'll get to this later, perhaps not today, but they'll have access to the New Jerusalem. But that is not going to be their primary dwelling place. There's a dwelling place for them. And their dwelling place, getting ahead of myself here a little bit, again, is not heaven either. It's the new earth. And we'll touch on that later, perhaps in another program. But right now, we're looking at, there's all these different believers. And one distinct group, that's from the time of the cross till now, till the time of the rapture, the age of grace. This group of people, which we are in right now, which you are a part of, if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you are a part of the bride of Christ. And when that trumpet sounds, and the voice of the archangel, Jesus is going to catch us up to be with him, as it says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and we're going to be caught up to meet him in the air, and we are going to be with him. And initially, we are going to be in heaven, but eventually, after the tribulation, after the millennial reign of Christ, a new earth, a new heaven, and a new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven, a prepared place for the bride of Christ, the believers of this age. And we will have a place that will be our home. Doesn't mean you're stuck there for all eternity, but it means that's your home. You have a home, and you're there, but you're not there all the time. You travel from your home. You go on vacation. You go to work. You go visit family. You go visit friends. You go out to eat. You go shopping, different things. Your home is your base, and you go out from there to do different things and sometimes have guests in your home and things like that. Well, this New Jerusalem is where our home will be, where John said, in my Father's house are many mansions. They're being prepared for us in the New Jerusalem. Well, here's what John says about this. He continues, excuse me, in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 2, we saw a New Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven as prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. We go a little further down into chapter 2, and in verse number 10, starting there, the Bible says, and he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain. And now, this is where John is looking, and let me just back up for a moment. In verse 9, the angel tells John, come hither, and I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And so now John says, and he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, show me that great city, the holy Jerusalem. Here it is again, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. And it had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east 3 gates, and on the north 3 gates, and on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of God. And this is already an amazing description of this place prepared by Jesus for us in heaven, that's coming down out of heaven to the earth. And the angel in verse 9 had told John he was going to show him the bride, the Lamb's wife. And the next thing that you see is John seeing that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending from God, or out of heaven from God. And so the reasonable conclusion then is that this is the dwelling place of the bride of Christ. There's other things that indicate and show us that as well, but it's reasonable to believe that, because, you know, if I wanted to show you somebody, I could take you to where they live. You know, I don't know if they still do it, but they used to have tours in Hollywood, you know, where you would ride a bus around and they would show you the homes of the stars, and people would ride that hoping that they might see, you know, a movie star or a TV star coming or going. And so they take you to where their homes are so that you can see it. They used to do that. And if you wanted to see somebody, you oftentimes you go to their home, you can find them. And so this is the idea here. He's going to show him the bride of the Lamb's wife, the bride of Christ. And he shows him the holy the new Jerusalem, the holy Jerusalem descending out of heaven from God, because this is the dwelling place. And this is where John would be able to see the believers in their home. And so consequently, when we look at the New Jerusalem, we're also getting a glimpse into the future home of the believers. And that's what's so exciting about this. And we are not going to get into everything here today, but I do want to harp on this one issue again, the fact that it is a prepared place. Verse 2, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband, which again corresponds to the comment Jesus made in John 14:3, where he said he was going to prepare a place for us. And you can also compare that with Hebrews chapter 11, verse 16, where the Bible says, but now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly, wherein God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared them a city. Again, the idea of a prepared place. God in his infinite wisdom and power is preparing a place for us. And I believe, according to a passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, that this place is beyond our current comprehension. We can kind of get a glimpse of it in the scripture, which we will get into, Lord willing, next week. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, Paul writes, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. This is a place prepared for you, prepared for me. If you have put your faith in Christ, We have a place prepared for us, waiting for us, where we will spend all eternity. It'll be our home base, where we'll be able to explore the new heaven, the new heavens, I should say, and the new earth in their entirety. Fellowship one with another, fellowship with the angels, fellowship with God himself. I hope you'll be there. I hope you know Christ as your Savior. That's the key to being in the new city. Thanks for listening. Join us next time. God bless.
You've been listening to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Read articles on a variety of topics by Pastor Al at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to join him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m., and then every Friday at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoll.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 10 to midnight. And again, next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.